I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Now for our feature presentation.
If there's anything we've ever done that I'm particularly proud of, I would have to say that the perpetuation of the greatness of the Raiders to take a professional football team and give it a distinct characteristic that's different from all others.
The greatness of the Raiders. Some may scoff, but what other pro sports team is instantly identified with a song like this one?
I had a dream that someday I would build the finest organization in professional sports. There's a commitment to excellence, the greatest players. The flame that would burn brightest here is the will to win. Just win. Play hard. Try not to make mistakes. But don't worry about mistakes, because there's only one thing that counts. Just win.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players. You have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Welcome to another edition of Q&A with your boy Q and myself, Joe Arrigo. All right, Q, so new intro. You know, we had a couple weeks off to get things going. A lot of Al Davis in there. Also had to pay homage to one of the great ones, Nipsey Hussle. Rest in peace. So let's get right into it, man. Raiders making a lot of moves in the offseason so far. They got one half of my unholy union locked in with Vontaze Burfict. All they need now is Ndamukong Suh, and I'm going to be a happy man. My unholy union will be united like the powers of Voltron. That'd be a man, it'd be like Thanos with those two on defense, where they would hit people, make them just fold like sand. But, and I say that jokingly and sarcastically, but man, it's been really interesting to see everything that they've been doing so far. What are your thoughts thus far on the offseason?
You know, I'll tell you right now, man, I'm really surprised, and obviously with the move for AB, that was huge, but just, I was surprised that they were as aggressive, and they have been as aggressive as they have. I really did not expect them to go into the offseason and be super aggressive, come right out the gate shooting, you know, and signing guys in free agency, spending big money in free agency, and getting guys that were good ages. You know, they weren't getting the old veterans that everyone says that John Gruden just has to have. They were getting guys that, yes, they have experience in the league, but still young, you know? So I was really not, I don't want to say like blown away, but I was just really shocked, but in a good way, that they were going out there and they were making those moves. And I think that overall, they know that they have a lot of work to do to make this a competitive team. Not a team that's a playoff team, but a competitive team. Because in 2018, they weren't competitive. I mean, they just weren't. And I know for the diehard Raider fan, for the one that just bleeds silver and black and looks through the silver and black glasses, that's painful to hear. But it's the honest to God truth, and I'm a straight shooter. That's just how I am. As much as I love the Raiders, I'm not going to lie to anybody, because that's just disrespectful on my part. So I'm not going to do that. They were not a competitive team in 2018. The Raiders in the offseason, Mike Mayock, John Gruden, that front office, they have made this team competitive enough to get to the draft and get some real deal young talent, and then really make this team competitive. And then, hey, all bets are off in the AFC West, because you just never know how it's going to go. But I respect the fact that John Gruden says, I'm looking up at the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm trying to build a team that could beat them, because he knows, and just like I know, that they're going to be around for a while. I know that they have some off-field issues. They got some guys that have off-field issues. You know, that could derail something real quick, fast, and in a hurry. But for the most part, they got a guy that could pull the trigger in Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to continue to excel and get better in the league. So the Raiders need to build a team that could defeat those guys. And obviously, the Broncos are going to continue to get better, and the Chargers are still there. So it's all about defeating the AFC West, and I think that they're putting themselves in a position where they can do that. But they got to hit a home run or a bunch of home runs in the draft as well.
I'm just going to recap for those that aren't keeping score what's happened over the last month. Starting, let's say, March 15th, they signed J.J. Nelson, Josh Morrow, and Chaz Green, and they re-signed Jason Kabinda, They re-signed Dwayne Harris on the 18th. On the 16th, they cut Donald Penn. On the 19th, they signed Vontaze Burfict. On the 20th, they signed long snapper Trent Saig and cornerback Nevin Lawson. 21st, Jordan Davey, offensive lineman, signed. Then they signed the backup quarterback as of right now, Mike Glennon and Curtis Riley on the 22nd. The 26th, they went out and signed Landry Jones, who at one point was the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. On the 28th, that was kind of a big day for me for them when they signed Isaiah Crowell and Brandon Marshall, who I think was a sneaky, sneaky good signing for the Raiders, and he wants to be there in Vegas. Actually, he was having dinner over the weekend with some of his people, and they say he is jazzed about potentially coming to Vegas playing for the Raiders back home where he went to Cimarron High School. Luke Wilson signed with the Raiders on the 29th. Darrell Worley signed his tenure on April 1st. They signed Ryan Grant, another good receiver who they really liked a lot last year, was injured and didn't pass a physical with the Colts, and it kind of went downhill from there. But he's a guy that's been very productive and has a lot of upside. They cut Seth Roberts a day later on April 4th. They signed Alex Barrett and Jordan Richards on the 5th. On the 8th, they signed receiver DeMornay Pearson-L. And then today, as we record this on April 10th, Jalen Richard signed his tenure as well. So a lot of guys moving in and out. And, you know, something I've seen you with, a guy who's a really good follow, it's Stackanova on Twitter.
Yeah.
You guys had a really good conversation going. And he's very logical. And he brought up a good point today in the conversation. And I kind of interjected my point and kind of bounced out of it. I didn't see the reply. But he said, you know, there's only X amount of spots on the team, and there's the draft picks, and there's more draft picks than spots. Do you think that there's a way that the Raiders, you know, basically use every draft pick for a potential slot? And my comment to that was, and I want to get your take on it, bro, like, for me, there's guys on the back end of the roster and even guys that maybe in the middle of the roster that once were considered core guys, they're guys that I don't think the Raiders have a lot of hope in and a lot of, like, trust in to keep on the team going forward. So whether or not they use, I think there's going to be a lot more moves that's going to be made that's going to allow them to have roster flexibility. And some of those guys on the roster right now, some of those veterans, will not be there because they're going to go out and get some rookies. And I think you're going to see Mayock and Gruden be very aggressive in this draft and target guys that they specifically wanted. And just like with Mohurst last year, where they got aggressive to go get him, be the same way this year in this draft.
Yeah, and see, that's my thing. And that was a really good tweet that he had. And he is a really good follow, and he always comes up with a lot of different logical explanations behind things. I know sometimes I'll tweet out something and he'll say, well, if you look at it like this, then it's, you know, then you can also get this idea out of it. So he brings like both sides of the story, and that's really good because sometimes that's how you need to break things down, is from multiple different angles. But my point of it and where this all stemmed from was the fact that I said the Raiders have 8 draft picks right now. I believe by the end of the draft, they're going to have about 12. That's just my gut feeling. And so, you know, his basic point is, well, if you get 12 draft picks and you go and draft 12 guys, then there's people on the roster that aren't going to make the roster. But see, my point is that's okay. That's okay because you're trying to build a team full of talent. You're trying to get the best 53 guys out there. That's ultimately what you want. You want to field a team with as much talent as possible. The Raiders in 2018, we're lacking a lot of talent. And so there's some veterans that are on the team right now that, like you just mentioned, might not be there. And they might have just signed them. But they might have just signed them right now just in case they're not able to get that guy in the draft or they're not able to get that guy as an undrafted free agent. Let's not forget about this fact. Once the draft hits and they go through the draft, there's going to be a lot of guys that don't get drafted. They're also going to grab undrafted free agents. There's also going to be other teams that cut guys that they have because, oh, well, hey, we just got a younger, better one of this guy. So there's going to be some veterans, some pretty big names that will get cut shortly after the draft, and they might decide to go and poach a guy like that. Just because there's a lot of players, and you went through all the names and transactions that the Raiders have done this offseason, I think they've made like 18 total moves, maybe 19, 20, whatever. Just because they're making those moves outside of some of the really big names, none of those cats are guaranteed a spot unless they go into training camp and earn that spot. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for competition. I'm not looking for guys who think, oh, my spot is there. I'm looking for guys like a Jalen Richard, who you just mentioned, signed his second round tender. This is a guy who earned a job on a camp invite over the weekend. He didn't, yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a guy who was drafted. He wasn't an undrafted free agent. He was a guy who was invited to Alameda over a weekend and said, show us what you got. And he earned his spot, and the Raiders gave him a second-round tender. You want to talk about a compliment. That's a guy who has been looking over his shoulder since he's been in Alameda, since he's been a member of the Raiders, because he doesn't want someone to take his spot. He's done everything he can. He's had his highs. He's had a few lows, but he's had his highs. And he continues to grind and work and work. That's what I want to see. Guys that are hungry for their spot, who doesn't want the next man to take them. I don't care if you're a veteran. I don't care if you're a rookie. You can get got as long as you're not out there working. That's another reason why the addition of Antonio Brown is so key, because he's a guy who will put that in these younger guys' mind. Like, hey, I was a sixth-round draft pick, not a first round. I wasn't Amari Cooper. I wasn't picked number four overall in the first round. I wasn't the heir apparent to, you know, oh, I'm not the next Tim Brown. No, AB was just a guy. The Steelers drafted him in the sixth round. He was probably going to be a special teams dude and maybe a wide receiver if they needed some help. He earned what he got. So that's what he's going to try, and that's what I'm assuming he's going to try to relay to the new guys on the roster, the young cats on the Raiders roster that they draft, they sign, whatever they do, kind of instill that work ethic in them. That's what gets me so excited and gets me so fired up and motivated about what the Raiders are doing. But yeah, with that conversation, man, I'm looking for about 12 guys that they're probably going to get. I think they're going to trade back a couple times, just like they did in 2018's draft. They traded back a couple times. They traded up a couple times. I mean, they're just going to make some moving and shaking. They're going to be very flexible. But just to say that, oh, we got 8 picks already, that's enough, I think that's silly. Like, you don't just say, that. Oh, that's eight picks, that's plenty. No, because how do you know that 8 guys are going to be good? The chances of 8 guys being good is terrible. That's not going to happen. You know what I mean? The chances of all 3 of the guys in the first round being good is very, very minimal. You know what I mean?
Well, that's if they keep all 3 guys in the first round. They
exactly.
Very easily, like, let's be honest, if they don't like somebody at 4, or like if they feel that person's going to slide back a bit, and let's say the Giants feel like, you know what, we want to go get our guy right away, and we'll give up a 1 next year and a 3 this year for you to move back 2 spots, and then at that 4 spot, they're there, and they can still get a Josh Allen or a Keenan Williams at the 6 spot. And by picking up a 1 next year and a 3 this year, I'm pretty sure they would do that, because the risk reward is greater. And it, you know, it's less of a risk and more of a reward, because you're adding another first round pick. And that's just a hypothetical situation. I don't know if that's been talked about. I know that there's a lot of talk that's being scuttled about right now. And I think Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out, you know, anything you hear for the next 2 weeks is more than likely all lies. If it's coming from NFL people, he's 100% right. Like, that's the honest to God's truth. Whatever someone says, well, Sora said this guy's climbing up a board. No, honestly, at this point, the boards are set. There's no movement on a board. They know where guys are. They may go back and check somebody out based off of a medical issue, like Hollywood Brown or somebody like that, a team hasn't had the time, or, you know, hadn't done the due diligence to see where a guy's at. They meet with them and says, oh, my foot's fine, here's where it is. That may readjust some things, but for the most part, boards are set. But I could see the Raiders dealing back, even in the back half of round one, let's say they deal that 24 and drop to like 30 or 27 and 30, and they're able to add a third-round pick, maybe add a second-round pick, a 2 and a 3 this year. I could see them doing something like that. So I agree with you 100%. I think the Raiders are actually in a really good position to really control the draft. And I think they can at 4. The Jets are going to be the crucial spot early in the draft. If Kyler Murray goes 1, hey, look, there's a lot of stuff about Nick Bosa that's been coming out in terms of his political beliefs and how that would jive in the Bay Area. You know, Jed York may not want that type of guy in his uniform representing his team with those political beliefs in that area. That could be a spot where the 49ers go ahead and take a Keenan Williams, or even decide to go a different route, and which leads the Jets there. Now you have a team like the Giants. You have a team like Miami, the Bengals, the Redskins. Those are teams that would like to trade up for a quarterback, potentially, you know, and jump ahead of the Giants for that matter. Let's say the Jets make a deal with, hypothetically, the Bengals, and they take Dwayne Haskins. Well, that leaves other teams now shuffling. You got Daniel Jones, the Raiders sitting at 4. I've said, and I told you this privately, and I told you that I sit on this as well as other shows, I think the Giants have targeted Daniel Jones, the Duke quarterback, as the guy they want to replace Eli Manning, based off of his history with Eli Manning, his history with David Cutcliffe, who coached Eli Manning, as his head coach at Ole Miss. The quarterback coach for Duke was Eli Manning's backup. So there's a lot of Manning ties to Jones. I can see the Giants, and you know what? We'll give up this and that and move up with the Raiders. Now, that just opens up the draft board in a variety of ways, and it makes the draft wide open. And the way the draft is settled, Q, you know as well as anybody. At this point, because of the CBA, because of the slotted salaries, it makes it a lot more fun draft for guys to move around and be movers and shakers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, that's the beauty of the draft, because you just don't know how it shakes out. You think you know, you think you have an exact idea of how things are going to get started. But really, I mean, it's all at the beginning. If it starts the way most people think it's going to start, with Kyler Murray going off the board number one, then okay. Then you got three defensive players right there. You know, 2, 3, and 4, I think is going to happen. You know, unless the Raiders can continue to do their due diligence and continue to make it look like they really are in love with Dwayne Haskins, and a team like the Giants, who I think might target him, or a team like, I don't know, like you mentioned, the Dolphins or the Redskins or the Broncos. I mean, there's so many different teams that need quarterbacks. Any of those teams decide, hey, we need to jump up in front of the Raiders because they're going to take our guy. You know, I see defense coming off the board the next, you know, three guys. But again, because of the uncertainty of what's really going on and what's real and what's not, again, and I saw that tweet from Daniel Jeremiah about don't believe anything in these last 2 weeks because it is absolute BS. I mean, it is. That's exactly what it is. That's the beauty of it. You got to kind of try to decipher what's real and what's not. And again, that's what makes this whole process so much fun and so intriguing. And just can't wait until that Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee, to get everything started and see how these guys start falling off this board.
Well, you're going to be there. So I fully expect us to record at least one show while you're at the draft. Maybe do some other things around, because you know you're going to be at ground zero, which is if I didn't have to go conduct business meetings and be in business meetings this past weekend, I'd probably be there as well. But you know, let me ask you this, man, and this is just from the outside looking in, we both are. Antonio Brown has kind of got back on Twitter and Instagram and kind of started taking shots at Juju Smith-Schuster. And Juju fired back, and then AB, you know, shared a private DM from Instagram with Juju while he was at USC, his junior, asking him, you know, for any tips to become a better wide receiver. Is it me, and I'm not saying AB's being petty, because some could say Juju started it by putting the picture on Instagram saying that he's ready to take over, and AB was in the background and happened to be against the Raiders. Or that he said that he's happy to work with a legend like Ben Roethlisberger, who, by all accounts from people that's in and around the team, some people will say Ben has been the biggest problem. Is AB being petty? And is he a pain in the ass like Jack Del Rio said, in your opinion?
You know, I do think he's being petty. I think Juju's being petty. I think anyone who really trips off of what's going on social media is also being petty, because I really don't care about what's going on social media. There's only so much, and you know firsthand, there's only so much that really even matters on social media. People fire off whatever. Everyone's a tough guy on Twitter or a tough guy on Instagram, and I don't subscribe to that. I don't get caught up in all that. So as I think it's petty, and I think that, you know, AB should just move on and not worry about what's going on in Pittsburgh, if that's what kind of gets him a little bit more jazzed and a little bit more wired and you know, gives him a little bit more edge than he already has, I'm okay with it. I just kind of hope that it ends sooner rather than later. And I know he came out and said that he's not giving any more of the media guys any more fuel or whatever, or trolls be trolls, whatever he said. You know, so I'm thinking that he's moving on from it. But yeah, I mean, sharing that message that he sent from or Juju sent from him while he was at USC, that was unnecessary, because it wasn't anything bad. You know, it was him asking for help, which I think is cool. I know I've done that in my profession a couple times, reach out to people that I respect and say,
oh, yeah,
hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? They shared that on Twitter. Fine. You know what? Q's just trying to get – he's hungry and he's trying to get better. So I would respect anybody who's doing that. So I don't think that there was anything wrong that Juju did. And I just think that, you know, AB has a little bit of edge and a little bit of, you know, something in his neck that he wants to get out still. And so as long as he gets it out now and gets it out before, you know, training camp and it's time to go, before it's actually go time, I'm all right with it. But, yeah, it's all a bunch of pettiness as far as I'm concerned.
This may be me being somebody that got a chance to cover and know Juju since high school. While at USC, know some of his family members, had conversations with him. I actually think it really made Juju look good when AB shared that message, because what it does there is shows a young guy that is very humble, and asking for one of the best, which he says, you're one of the greats. I want to learn, you know, is there any tips you'd like to give me? It just reinforces what type of person Juju is. If I'm John Gruden, Mark Mayock, I would have a phone call with Antonio Brown, and I would say, you know what, You're wearing silver and black, not black and gold, black and yellow, whatever. You're a Raider right now. Just go kick their ass during the season. Let's not worry about this petty crap on Twitter or on Instagram or anything else. You and Tyrell Williams lead this group as two guys that were sixth round and undrafted as a receiving group. You guys lead the receiver room. Show these young guys who we're going to bring in or these guys that we have here just what it takes to become a very good and outstanding professional football player, and more importantly, be great Raiders. I don't think there's going to be any backlash or drama, but I do think there are going to be some people that target him. He's had a few concussions in his career by way of Vontaze Burfict, now a teammate of his. I think there's going to be some teams that are going to look at him and say, okay, we're going to go after AB, just for his mouth. Some guys that are willing to say that. Eric Weddle is one of them. Said, you know, talking about classless, and there's a few other guys that pop off at the mouth. You know, I guess I'm from the school that says this. I don't mind dudes talking head. I love when guys talk head. If it's me and you, Q, and we're going at each other, I expect to say me and you. I don't need the peanut gallery jumping in.
Right.
Especially guys that were jumping teams to try to get rings, not guys that have stuck with teams for their entire career to get a ring. You know, and I know some things about a player that popped off in that because we're from the same area. If he really wants to talk about classless, he needs to look in the mirror for some of the things that he's done. So I think before you start calling the kettle black, you need to look at yourself and see where you're at. Fans, you know, and it sounds really messed up to say, and I don't mean any disrespect by saying this, but fans just don't understand. You're not in that realm. You're not in that group. You're not in that circle. And until you are, you know, you can say, well, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that. But you never know what's being said behind the scenes. And maybe AB just had enough. But I personally don't think – I think he needs to focus on being a Raider. I don't think he needs all the extra stuff. And at this point, again, if I'm Gruden or Mayock, I got to tell him, you know, chill. You know, chill out a little bit. Let's see how everything plays itself out. Go out there in the season and go kick everybody's ass. Get up and down the field and kick everybody's ass, and let's make it happen.
Yeah, I think that there might be a couple of those cats that try to do that. There might be a couple of those cats that talk about it and don't do it. I know Justin Reed is one of those guys from the Texans, a safety from the Texans, said he can't wait to go out there and smash him. Yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, it is what it is, man. Those guys have the goals to go out there and smash them every time they step between those lines. So we'll see how it shakes out. I think some guys will say something, but ultimately, man, a lot of these cats are on Twitter or on Instagram. They're in their feelings. They're, you know what I mean? They're seeing what fans are saying about them because they didn't get their fantasy points or whatever. And, you know, it's just it's crazy. I think it should stay between, you know, side A and side B, and it doesn't need the rest of the side dishes. But that's just how it is when it's out there in a public you know, area like that, like Twitterverse or Instagram or whatever, you know. I don't know, man. It's just silly to me. And again, I think that Gruden and Mayock probably did say something to him. You know, that's probably why he said he's not going to feed the media anymore. He just said, "Hey, man, just chill out a little bit. Let's go out and win some games. Let's go out and you know, build this team. Let's do some great things together. Don't worry about that." Everything else I've been seeing from him on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, him working out with Bill Romanowski and, you know, continue to grind. I know he's out there in Hayward. He's been working out at the high school up there. In Hayward, he was working up at Cal Berkeley. I mean, he was doing all kind of different workouts. So I respect the fact that he's just in the Bay and he's grinding. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about Juju. Don't look in the back. You know, don't look in the rearview mirror. Don't look at the past. Just keep trucking forward, man. Let's make things happen. That's the message that I think John Gruden needs to send to him if he hasn't already.
Tell me if Bill Romanowski isn't a guy, you know, when you're, like, he called him Uncle Bill. Like, that just fits. You know, like, oh, I'm going to go play for the Raiders. Let me call Bill Romanowski. You know, I'm going to call Uncle Bill and see, you know, and have him check out my workouts and give me anything, some advice on some new workouts or whatever. I think that's pretty cool.
I did, too. I really did. When I saw him in the very first video and, you know, he had him working out and he was saying stuff, I'm just hanging out with my Uncle Bill, just working. Like, he went out of his way to go ahead and contact this dude or get a hold of him as soon as possible and get to work. I mean, you know, and look, I mean, a lot of people will say, well, why is he documenting it? Why don't he just do it? Well, I mean, that's just what he does. He's going to document it, and I'm fine with it. Just keep on grinding. I love the fact that Romanowski is out there helping him because I think that they're very similar. I mean, they're different kind of cats, but they're at the same time, they're very edgy. They want to win at everything. They want to be the best at everything. So I'm happy. I'm happy that he's out there working with Romanowski. I'm happy that he's out there, you know, running routes with Carr and trying to get on the same page with Carr. I mean, this is stuff that's happening before even the draft. He don't have to be doing that. You know, I mean, he doesn't have to. He could just rest on the fact that he's really good and he's going to make things happen by the time the regular season rolls around. But instead, he's going to keep working and working and working and doesn't want to get caught. I do feel like when he was in Pittsburgh, knowing that Juju was drafted in the second round and AB was a sixth round draft pick, I think that had a little something to do with it as well. You know, I mean, as much as he embraced him and showed him love when they were both together in Pittsburgh, I think at the same time he's thinking, hey, man, what you bring this new bright, shiny car for when, you know, I'm getting it done on a high level? And wait a minute, man, you didn't get me till the sixth round. You know what I mean? This cat, he went to USC. I went to Central Michigan. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that go through AB's mind, and I get it, man. You know, I want better for myself. I'm sure you want better for yourself as well. And sometimes I look at some of the cats that are in positions that I'd like to be in and think, I can do what he's doing. I can do it better. And I'm hungrier than he is. You know what I mean? So I can see where that edge would come from. And I respect it a little bit. You know, I don't want him to get crazy and just, you know, use that as a crutch and say, hey, it's all about my edge. It's all about my edge. It's all about my hunger and where I came from. I get that. Don't use it as a crutch, but use it as something that motivates you. So if that's what he takes and that's what it needs to be for him to be motivated, I'm all for it, man. Go ahead, handle your business.
Well, what we're going to do right now is take a quick break and come back to you with nothing but draft talk. We're going to break down multiple positions, what we think the Raiders may or may not do, guys to keep an eye on. And I want to pick your brain a little bit. Plus, we got some questions from some email questions from people who emailed us and there's a lot of them. So we're going to get to those as well. You're listening to Q&A on the Silver and Black Pridecast Network, powered by SB Nation.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Q&A with your boy Q and myself, Joe Arrigo, talking Raiders, Raider Nation. Okay, so we talked to you before about, you know, we went over AB and that drama. We talked about potential draft moves and up and down as far as working the draft, what the Raiders may or may not do. Hell, we've even talked about some of the transactions that the Raiders have done thus far. But now it's time to talk about the NFL's birthday present to me. That's what I called it for, well, almost 20-plus years when the draft was held around April 18th, which is my birthday. Now they pushed it back, but I always said it's NFL's birthday present to me because, see, I'm a little bit older. No, we're the same age.
That's right.
Do you remember when the NFL draft was on Sundays and then Mondays?
I remember when it was on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, no. Before that, they had it on Sunday and then Monday. And I think they changed that in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, I was sick. I stayed home from school sick every Monday when the draft was on. Oh no! I'll tell my grandparents, draft's on. You might as well just cut that sick note right now. I refused to go to school. I would sit there and watch Uncle Mel, Uncle Chris, Uncle TJ, you know, as he got into it and watched the draft. So that was the NFL's present to me. It was my birthday present to myself sitting there doing that. So now that the NFL is in prime time, it's a three-day event, which I think is stupid, by the way.
I do too.
Just go Friday, Saturday if you're going to do it, or go Saturday, Sunday. But Friday, Saturday makes a lot more sense. You can go rounds 1 through 3 on Friday and then 4 through 7 on Saturday and call it a day. That's just what I think. What do I know? I don't control a billion-dollar business. But it's time to talk draft. And I know we get a lot of guys. My man Sean is always asking me, Joe, like, when you going to talk about draft? Literally text me this stuff. Like, when you guys can get into more draft talk. Well, Sean, this is the day. It's all draft talk. So let's talk about realistic options at number 4Q. U.S. Stadium came out today and said the Raiders are in love or think very highly of Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. Everybody says it seems to think if Kyler Murray was there at four, the Raiders would draft Kyler Murray. Then you got Keenan Williams and Josh Allen and Nick Bosa. There is some options, but then there's realistic options. To me, it comes down to two players, and I don't know about yourself. If Bosa's there, he's the no-brainer guy at four. I doubt he'll be there. But it comes down to Keenan Williams and Josh Allen if they're there. I personally think, because the Raiders, I feel, are already locked in at defensive tackle, if someone took Josh Allen, that's when you would really see the Raiders kind of move back a little bit and target a guy like Montez Sweat a little bit later in the top 10, or Ed Oliver, for that matter, who I think is grossly underrated. But I think right now the guy that makes the most sense for them and the guy that fits exactly what they need is Josh Allen, the outside linebacker / defensive end from Kentucky.
That's the guy that everyone easily pencils in because he's an edge rusher. And, well, the Raiders don't have edge rushers. You know, they got Arden Key, and he was a rookie last year and had one sack. So, and since Khalil Mack's gone, it's like, all right, it's got to be an edge rusher. It's got to be an edge. Edge rushers are so hard to find. And Josh Allen did a hell of a job at Kentucky. I mean, 17 sacks. You know what I mean? 17 sacks in a season is pretty stinking amazing. My only problem with Josh Allen, and I like him. Let me say, I do like him. I just don't know how his production shows up in the NFL. You know what I mean? I know he did a really good job at Kentucky. I know that that's in, you know, the SEC. I totally get that. But I just don't know. I just don't know with his size. I'm not sure if he's an ideal fit in Gunther's system. I'm just not positive. That's why I lean to Quinnen Williams, because I think you put him next to Mo Hurst and you have a nasty combo up the gut, which makes everybody on the outside that much better. Guys are getting the ball out of their hands so much quicker. I think Williams is the best player in the draft. I really do. Best defensive player in the draft for sure. I think he's is no brainer. So the Raiders, in my opinion, it's just my humble opinion, I think they need dudes. They need dudes that are culture changers, guys that are expected to win, guys that have that fire in their belly to win, guys that don't want to take no crap and want to be the best guy on the field. And the thing about Williams, he was a defensive end at Alabama. His first couple seasons at Alabama, he was a defensive end and he couldn't get on the field because he had stud in front of him. He went to the coach and said, "Coach, what do I need to do to get on the field? I need to play." And his D-line coach said, "Well, if you can go to the three technique, then, you know, you can go." He said, "All right, gain some weight," and boom, he hit the field and had a hell of a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that shows me that this guy just wants to win and is hungry to get out there on the field and be the dude. So I am 100% sold on Williams at number four. If he's there, I'll take the card up there. My damn self will turn it in. I don't care who says no. I'll just run up there and do it. And, you know, you'll have to bail me out later, but that's fine, whatever. But, yeah, that's who I'm sold on at number four. Josh Allen, I'm also sold on at number four if, you know, push comes to shove and you have to – and Williams is already gone. Say the Jets get him. Maybe the 49ers get him. Who knows? Maybe the Cardinals take him. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But if Williams is gone, I could see Devin White or Josh Allen. And probably Josh Allen will be the guy that would go before Devin White. I don't think linebacker is that necessary, that high. But I think Devin White's a hell of a linebacker, so I wouldn't mind seeing that either. So those are my guys that I would pick at number four.
But see, I don't think White fits the scheme. I don't think White fits what Gunther. I mean, I think he does fit, but I don't think Gunther values linebackers.
He doesn't.
The same way most people do. And I think Kevin Wayne pointed that out to us a while ago on Twitter when he said that. And I think we both agree with that. And I think if you're going to take White, you can get him to trade back a few spots. You're not going to get him in the top four. I think Tampa Bay
takes him at five, though. That's my only problem. I think Tampa Bay takes him at five.
But see, where I disagree with you is he's not better than Roquan Smith, who went seven last year.
Roquan went number eight. Roquan went eight to Chicago. Eight. But he's not better than Roquan. You're right. That was my dog. That was my guy. But he's the best linebacker, in my opinion, in this draft. And he's the next closest thing. And he's sideline to sideline. He's quick. I mean, and he's a leader. That's the other thing. He's a leader. And the Raiders don't have very many leaders on defense. So that's another reason why I like him.
But you have Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
You have Brandon Marshall. You have Whiteside. You're taking a guy that at that high. That means Burfict, your projected inside linebacker, isn't going to be on the field, because you're not going to have your guy you take number four overall not be on the field.
Is Burfict guaranteed to be healthy?
Well, there's nobody's guaranteed to be healthy.
But is he?
You know, Derek Carr is going to be healthy.
Well, no, I know, but still, with Burfict's injury history, I don't think that you're really counting on him. I mean, hell, with the money that they paid him, he might not even make it out of training camp. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that you worry about who's there in front of him. I think you get the best talent you can get.
So I think if you can get White, you can trade back a few spots to get White. I think Tampa Bay is going to go a different direction. I wouldn't be surprising if they took a receiver at that spot. Outside of Mike Evans, I don't think they have that the depth of receivers gone. I mean, they traded DeSean Jackson.
Right, right. I mean, they got O.J. Howard at the tight end position. They got another wide receiver. I forget his name, but they do have another wide receiver that pushed D-Jax last year. So, I mean, they got one there, and I know that they could find one a little bit later. There's a couple guys that they've been looking at, but they just lost Quan Alexander. Remember, I mean, he's gone to San Francisco, and that's a big-time loss at that linebacker position. So I think, personally, Tampa Bay is going to take Devin White if he's there at number five.
Okay, if that's the case, again, I'll stick to my guns. I think if Josh Allen is gone, I'll take it one step further. The Raiders may reach a little bit and take Montez Sweat at four.
I wouldn't like
I wouldn't mind it. I think he's a guy you could plug and play from day one. Not only did he, and I'm not even talking about the combine numbers, which he blew up, he produces on the field. He's had a really, really good college career. Is it elite? No. But he fits what they want to do, fits attitude-wise. I mean, Simmons is a top five pick if he doesn't tear his AC. Or, you know, if the ACL's not torn, he's a top 10 pick overall because of the background, his teammate at Mississippi State. You could get that guy later in the draft, probably end of round one, beginning of round two, if you wanted another guy like that. But I think it wouldn't be surprising. Ed Oliver, Montez Sweat at number four, or if they trade back a few spots. I really think that Allen is the guy. And let's be real. There are some people who think that Josh Allen is the guy deserving to be the number one overall pick in the draft.
It's true.
Being the top pick in the draft. To me, it makes way more sense for Josh Allen to fit in at four if it's not him to deal back, accumulate some more picks, and look at how your board sets after the couple teams pick in front of you. Nothing against Keenan Williams. Nothing against him at all. I have a hard time thinking they're going to take him at that spot. I mean, personally, I think he makes more sense for the Jets at three, considering the potential holes they have in the middle of their defensive line, and then Allen slides down to four.
Well, they got Leonard Williams, though. The Jets got Leonard Williams there in the middle, too. You got to remember that. They do have a couple dudes in the middle, and they don't have any edge rushers. I think Allen goes to the Jets if they stay at three. That's just my gut feeling.
I don't disagree with your gut feeling. It's the Jets, and they do some wild things on draft night. They make some wild decisions overall, and there's no guarantee Leonard Williams is going to be there in a year.
It's true. No, that's true. He's coming up on a pretty big contract. So no, you're right. There's four places that Quinnen Williams could fall to. Starting at number one, he can go 1 to 4. Honestly, Josh Allen could go anywhere from 2 to 4, or he might even go number one. Like you said, that's why there's so much intrigue at the top of the board. You know, and then on top of that, there's guys that are probably going to be, or teams that are going to be willing to trade up to try to get a quarterback. If you look at the quarterbacks that have been taken, I believe over the last century, all the quarterbacks have been traded up for. I mean, you think about it. Just think of the last few years. You know what I mean? All these quarterbacks have been traded up to get. Guys don't just sit there. Teams don't just sit there and wait for that quarterback to fall. Deshaun Watson, the Texans had to trade up. Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs had to trade up. Mitchell Trubisky, even though it wasn't far, the Bears had to trade up. You know, Carson Wentz, the Eagles had to trade up. Jared Goff, the Rams had to trade up. Everyone's trading up to get a quarterback. So I say that to say there's a good chance that there's going to be some teams that are down that are going to try to trade up and get quarterbacks. So that's going to shake this board up as well. And there's some really good players. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you have thought that Derwin James would have gone 17th overall in 2018?
You know what? No. I thought he would go. I thought Green Bay had him at 14. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought, because I was told by people that they fell in love with him, that they thought he'd be what he was with San Diego with Mike Pettine in his defense.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was there, I'm like, oh, I was actually at a good friend of mine who's a Raiders Raider fanatic. He's also a guy on radio out here in Fresno, Joe Pacheco. I'm at his house watching a draft with him, and I go, oh, you know, here goes Derwin James, and they trade back. I'm like, what?
Man, I was at the damn draft, and I just knew the Raiders were going to take him at 10, and they traded back. And then they had a chance at 15, and then they got Colton freaking Miller. So I got pissed off twice. Don't make me relive that. My bad. I should have never brought Derwin James up.
Yeah, why bring up old stuff, homie? Come on. What's up with that?
My bad.
Okay, I'm going to give you a name of a guy who I think is going to be a bust, who I think is overrated. And I hope I'm wrong, because I don't want to say that about anybody, because talk about somebody in their career and what they do. But I don't think Rashawn Gary out of Michigan is anywhere near the hype that he has based off of the lack of production he's had at Michigan and I probably look at him as a second or third rounder. I don't see him as a guy that should go in round one at all.
I think he's going to go in round one. I'm pretty sure he's going to go in round one, but I would agree with you 100%. I do not like him. I've seen him mock to the Raiders many times. I do not want that. I do not hope that that happens. I hope he's nowhere near the Raiders because, again, he checks every athletic box possible. Every single box he checks athletically. But when it comes to production, there's no production. And I want a guy that has production that you can see is, okay, he's this dude. He was this dude against the best competition in college. You know what I mean? Like, he was that guy. How are you all of a sudden going to produce more? And I know there's been times when it's happened, but how are you going to produce more at the next level when you didn't produce at your lower level? You know what I mean? Like, it's look, if that happens, it happens. And hey, shout out to you, but I'm with you 100%. I wouldn't want the Raiders to touch Rashawn Gary. I just do not think he is the guy. Matter of fact, Winovich, I think, is actually the guy. If I'm going to take a guy, if I'm going to take an edge out of Michigan, I'm going to take Winovich. I'm going to look at Winovich and say, you know what? This is the dude. This is the dude that's going to go get it. He doesn't make it look pretty. He doesn't look like an athletic specimen, but he can go get it done.
No, I agree. I think he's a guy, and he's a guy that could go in round, the end of round one, beginning of round two type guy.
Yep.
You know, that's what Winovich would be. But agree, I don't want Rashawn Gary near any team that I like. If it's Green Bay, if it's the Raiders, if it's whomever, I'm cool. I want him to stay the hell away based off of just production or lack thereof. You can have all the measurables. You can be Mike Mamula. I don't care. I want a guy I see production on the field. My boy Rob Rank compares him to Everson Griffin of the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that because I got a chance to see Everson up close where he works out, the same area I'm from. And that dude is a monster, and he's actually at production. I don't see that with Gary. That's just me. I guess for me, if the Raiders are going to move back, and I'm just talking about I'm staying in the top four. I'm talking about just at the pick number four right now, not 24 or 27. I would stay the hell away from him. Hell, I would take DK Metcalf over him, and I think DK Metcalf has the highest bust rate of anybody in this draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't take DK Metcalf either. I would take Brian Burns over him. I would take Brian Burns in a heartbeat over him. I think Brian Burns got something. I don't think he's getting enough love. Matter of fact, I think he's going to be a guy that whatever team he drops to is going to appreciate him for some years. I think four might be a little bit too high for him. But if the Raiders trade back to like 8 or 9, maybe 10 and no more farther back, I could see them taking a Brian Burns, and I'd be happy with that. And that's an edge rusher right there that I think is going to be a successful dude in the league for some years. So, yeah, I'd be very comfortable with Brian Burns.
Okay, so let's move to pick 24. And let's say the Raiders do get their edge rusher out for insert name or edge rusher earlier in the draft. So, therefore, we don't know who it is. Okay, so you're looking at pick 24. My thought is this. If Hockenson and Fant are both gone by pick 24, you have to take Irv Smith Jr. Because there, to me, there is a drop-off at tight end after that. And I know there's Caden Smith out of Stanford, Caleb Wilson, Josh Oliver, Jay Stornberger, Dawson Knox, Alize Mack from Notre Dame by way of Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. You have guys, but I think after Irv Smith, I mean, if you look at it, you got three first-round tight ends, and then the next one probably should be taken in the third or fourth round, being Caden Smith or Caleb Wilson. I think you got to get the tight end there. If not, and a lot of people have Nasir Adderley penciled into the Raiders. I don't think that's the case. I don't. I like Abrams from Mississippi State better.
He could play. He could play.
I think he's so underrated. I would actually, at that point, if you have another tight end on the board, let's say Fant is on the board or Hockenson is on the board still at 24, you got both of them, I would take Abrams at 24 because the way he controls the defense, the way he is on the back end, he's a guy that's going to come up and bang you. But what I love about the way he plays is you look at the angles he takes when he's hitting somebody. He doesn't slow down. It's full speed. It's always the right angle, and he knows how to tackle. He finishes. And I think that's something the Raiders sorely need on the back end of the secondary. Not just a ball hawk that can make plays, but a guy that finishes tackles, wraps up, and gets to the play at the right angle so he can secure a tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he did a really good job his senior year. You know, he had 99 tackles. He had 13 tackles for loss. I think he had 3 sacks. I mean, he had the production He did kind of slip a little bit going for the home run hit, trying to go for the knockout hit, and would miss a few guys. But for the most part, everything you said is spot on about him. So I could totally see him. I think I'd be more comfortable with him at 27. Honestly, a guy that we haven't even mentioned yet, and if he's there at 24, I would jump and go up and take him. And I don't care who the Raiders got at number four is Cleveland Farrell. If Cleveland Farrell's there, I'm jumping up there and taking him quick, fast, and in a hurry. I like him. I actually – my dream scenario is Williams at four and Farrell at 24, and I'm happy. And then 27 is almost like a, you know, that when you're playing Uno and you can – no, it's not Uno. Anyway, whatever game it is where you could use an ace for one or 10 or whatever, whatever game that is. I don't know. I don't play cards that often.
21?
Yeah, there you go. It's one of those, man. It's an ace. It's an ace in the hole. That'd be that number 27 overall pick if you can go with Farrell at 24 and you can get Williams at four. I'd be thrilled.
Would you be opposed to, at 24, a guy like A.J. Brown from Mississippi State? If he's, I mean, he should be there. Maybe a Paris Campbell, a guy you can move to the slot. One of those two guys in at that spot. Even though you have Williams, you have A.B., you have Ryan Grant, you have J.J. Nelson. But, you know, Nelson hasn't really produced. He's just a speed guy.
Yep.
Grant's coming off an injury. And, you know, you got to worry about his production. If you're expecting him to catch for 1,000 yards, you are full of really good drugs, because that's not going to happen this year. It's going to be A.B., Williams, and then everybody else. But a guy like Brown could really bridge the gap for a few years. And I can make the argument, but I'm not going to, that he may be the best receiver in his class.
I've said that a couple times.
Based off production and everything.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I've said that a few times. While everybody was talking about DK Metcalf, I said I think his teammate's better than him. You know, I'm way higher on AJ Brown. I wouldn't mind taking him. I think he'd be another guy that I'd probably wait till number 27, and I might wait too long. Someone else would probably grab him. But worst come to worst, you know, the one guy that, you know, could end up being a steal for the Raiders, and I'm not super high on him, but he's a burner. That's Marquise Hollywood Brown. But that Lens Frank surgery he had, that kind of scares me, and I wanted to drop him at least to, like, the third round, but he's not going to be there in the third round, and he probably won't be there in the second round. But just say he drops just because teams are kind of concerned about that. If the Raiders feel comfortable with that, I could see him being a take-the-top-off-the-defense type dude. And you know what I mean? You got Marquise Brown on one side. You got Antonio Brown on the other side. And they're happy as can be because they're related. And then you got Tyrell Williams as well. Yeah, I could see that being a hell of a receiving core right there, because what I've noticed, and one thing that I really broke down and was looking at in some research that I was doing, AB's going to need some help. You know, I mean, he's been a stud. He is a stud. I know this. But last year he worked with onside Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a stud in his own right. So now they just have I'm not trying to disrespect anybody, but they got parts next to him now. They had stars next. You know what I mean? They were stars next to each other. Now they just have other pieces around them. So I think that they still need to make that wide receiving core, just the weapons on offense, period. I think they do need to step that up to ensure that AB is going to have a really good, productive season and make this Raider offense really a weapon, man. Something that teams have to prepare themselves for, and not something that they think, oh, we just got to double cover AB and we're good.
I'll go as far as saying this, brother. I think Hollywood Brown's going top 15.
Whoa. Wow.
I know it sounds crazy, but I think teams are going to look at the medical, and that's why I kind of said his name a little earlier in teams readjusting. I think they're going to look at the medical.
Right.
I think they're going to look at the tape. You can play him at the X, the Y. You can play him at the H and the, you know, or in the slot, the Z, whatever. You could put him as an H in the backfield to get him out. You can do a lot of stuff with him that you can't do. You can use him like the Chiefs use Tyreek Hill in a lot of ways. He is that type of guy.
That's true.
And I don't know this. The Raiders aren't going to take him at four.
No.
If they deal back, they're still not going to take him there. But if he goes top 15, the team to watch is Green Bay. Just mark my words with that. Write that one down. Penciling in the back of your head with Matt LaFleur's system, which would mean you got a guy like DK Metcalf that's going to slide a bit. You got an A.J. Brown that's going to be there. And Keel Harry, who I think is a stud.
I do, too.
I like Harry a lot.
I do, too.
Would you be opposed to, at 24 – I know you like your Alabama guys. I know you like your Alabama guys. You and Nick Hamilton would take Williams, Josh Jacobs, Thompson, and Mac Brown with the top four picks for the Raiders if you had your way. Smith, excuse me. Then Mac Brown probably with the Raiders' top four picks. And I say that because I'm just busting your balls, brother. But
I mean, you're not really wrong, though. You see, I didn't object. I was like, well, I would take Williams. I'm not going to lie. There was one draft that I did. I had to do a little mock draft, and I had to go in order of the draft. And so everybody was picking before me, and they were picking all my guys. And they picked Quinnen Williams already, so that's the only guy I wasn't able to pick. But I did pick Josh Jacobs at number 24 because I knew Philadelphia wanted him at 25. So I picked Josh Jacobs, and then I did double down with Irv Smith. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong.
Would you be opposed to Jacobs at 24 if the Raiders get the speed rusher or the defensive lineman at the early pick in the draft?
No, I'd be fine with that. I would absolutely be fine with that, and I would say, okay, you know what? You're getting a guy that, one, for an Alabama running back, does not have a lot of wear and tear on his body. I think that that's awesome. That's always the knock on most Alabama running backs is that, well, they've carried the rock too much. He hasn't done that. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's very Alvin Kamara-like, and, yeah, I don't know any team that wouldn't take an Alvin Kamara guy. I would absolutely take him in a heartbeat. That would close the door on Marshawn Lynch. That would close the door on DeAndre Washington. Jalen Richard's already coming back. Chris Warren's going to be there coming off of IR. He's going to have to earn his spot during training camp, but it'll give him a shot. And then you have
Crowell.
Yeah, Crowell that just signed on the one-year deal. He's going to want to get a little piece of the pie. And then you got a guy in Jacobs that can do just about everything. Yeah, I would be thrilled with that. I would think that would be awesome.
I really like Jacobs, and I like the story behind him, too. And
you Hell kinda, yes.
If you watch the NFL Network, a little bit, you see Deshaun Watson's commercial with him talking about the journey's just beginning over again, about him living in his car and in motel.
Dog, I saw his dad break the whole thing down. His dad is the one who told the story even before that commercial, and it was one of those where I looked up at the folks at the house around me, and I was like, I'm not crying. It's allergies. It's that kind of year. It's allergies. That was the moment that I had.
And I would agree. I would say this. I think if you can get Allen or Williams at four, and I'm open to Williams at four. If you can get one of those two at four, Jacobs at 24, and then at 27, if Irv Smith is there or Noah Fant is there, you take one of them. I think you win the day if you're John Gruden and Mike Mayock. I think you win the day, you win the draft if those are your first three picks. I'm all in on Jacobs at 24. You said Alvin Kamara. I think Sony Michel. That's the kind of guy. So I kind of, you know, I think he's a little thicker than Michel, though. But he knows how to work with other running backs. He had to do it at Alabama the last couple of years. And he's good enough to keep Najee Harris off the field. And if you know anything about high school recruiting or college recruiting, Najee Harris has the frame right now to be a starting NFL running back. Josh Jacobs has kept him off the field, which just shows how talented this young man is.
Yep. And when Alabama needed a big play, who did they go to? Who did Tua look for?
Oh, he looked to Jacobs.
All the time. He'd find Jacobs out of the backfield. He did it all the time. And you telling me, I know Richard had a great year for the Raiders in 2018 catching the ball, and that's great and all, but, man, Jacobs is man, he can't even carry his jock strap. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a whole nother animal. So, yeah, I would love to see that. And I'll throw one other name out there that I would, if he dropped in the draft, I would love for the Raiders to go up there and pick. And if he was there at 27, again, it's another guy I would run up there and turn the card in for myself. That's a defensive back, Byron Murphy out of Washington. I would definitely go make that move if available. And he could be a bookend to Gerrion Conley. I think you got two playmaking defensive backs, young dudes. I know Murphy doesn't have a whole lot of starting experience, but he's got a whole lot of starting production. So I would definitely do that. And Byron Murphy, I'd welcome him to the Silver and Black with open arms.
I've gone on record on this show and on other shows as saying I think Byron Murphy's the best corner in this draft. He probably should be the first corner taken in this draft. Conversely, his agent, Hendrickson, is the same as Marshawn Lynch.
Nice.
Put that out there. So you have a little connection there. But I wouldn't be mad at Murphy there, but I think if you can get Murphy there, okay, so let's say again, okay, so first two picks, defensive lineman, defensive end, Williams or Allen at four. I think we agree with Jacobs at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 27, you say Murphy. I would go with Murphy there. Again, I go back to the tight end.
Right.
Unless the only tight end left on the board is Irv Smith. You have to take him there because, quite frankly, the drop-off is dramatic to me with the other tight ends. Like, I go back to that. You really don't have a tight end. Luke Wilson is not the answer.
No.
You can. I think Irv Smith fits what Gruden likes to do more so than a Noah Fant. I think Hockenson fits perfectly because he's a balanced tight end. Fant is that new age receiving tight end that's okay at blocking, that Jimmy Graham type tight end.
Right.
I think Irv Smith's just a tight end. And I'm gonna throw a name out there.
But he's fast. He's got wheels. He's got wheels though too. So he can get down the field pretty quick. And he's very. What I see when I see Irv Smith is I see Jared Cook.
See, I see him. I'm gonna throw a name out there. He's older. Keith Jackson.
Okay, I can see that.
Because Keith Jackson will block his ass off. He'll catch routes. He can run by you. I mean, you look at Keith Jackson when he's with the Eagles and with the Packers. He's a guy that was the best tight end in the NFL during that time period. And he was that kind of new age tight end before it was in vogue to have that new age tight end. And he's a guy I think fits exactly what Gruden likes to do. I mean, with Cook, yes, he's bigger. He was a decent blocker. He was a matchup problem, but you have that with Tyrell Williams now. You have that with AB on anybody, especially if he's in a slot. How are you going to jam him? Now he gets a free release, and he's going to be deadly. I think Smith, you can line up as an inline blocker or line him up on line of scrimmage with his hand in the ground, and he can release and make plays. And I think he'll be able to engage and really block his ass off to free up guys in the running game. I think it makes a lot of sense. Irv Smith at 27 for the Raiders.
You know what would be right up my alley, and you already kind of alluded to it, but, man, you get Quinton Williams at 4, you get Josh Jacobs at 24, and Irv Smith at 27. You just have Alabama roll tide all the way to Oakland, man. I'd be all good. No problem at all.
I know you would love that.
I would.
I know you would love that.
Roll tide.
Okay, so we'll go with that as our first round right now, like just talking about it draft-wise, potential guys. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to rounds 2 and 4, because obviously there's no third round pick, and we'll talk about guys kind of looking there and kind of just break guys down a little bit more. We're not giving you a mock draft, just guys that we think fit what John Gruden and Mike Mayock are looking for with the Raiders. This is Q&A with your boy Q and myself, Joe Arrigo, on the Silver and Black Pride Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation.